Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Communicating Across a Language Barrier, Chapter 3, Written Communication, Part 2. The questions this cast answers are, how do I present to an audience with a different first language to me? How do I work with a colleague who has a different first language to me? And how do I communicate across a language barrier?
When it comes to communication, it's easy to think of yourself as good enough. After all, you've been doing it your entire life and it's gotten you this far. But the way that human beings build trust and in turn relationships is by constantly communicating with one another. So while you are good in your own right, there's no harm in a little bit of improvement. Join us at one of our effective communicator conferences to take your communication skills to the next level. Register today at manager-tools.com/training.
Now, we said that people would ask questions and that's irritating, but we're now going to say not only should you send the material ahead of time and open yourself to questions, we are going to suggest that you actually solicit questions. That means you're going to ask people if they have any questions. And there's a really good reason for that. We recommend you always do this. Always ask for questions about what you're sending. When you send materials ahead of time, the questions you're asked give you really valuable information. They tell you where the material is confusing or hard to interpret. They tell you where you need to rewrite or use an example or add a diagram or just go slower in that part of your presentation. It tells you where are the pieces that are difficult to understand. And that's awesome. That makes your presentation or your written piece of communication better.
Absolutely. You can make enhancements. Imagine if we send our effective manager conference deck to someone in a non-English speaking country. The third page of that deck has the words, the title, the management trinity, -4 behaviors. Now, the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of a trinity is a group of three closely related persons or things. Now, that's confusing for English speakers, the fact that there are four parts in our trinity. And it's often something that we get questions about. Matter of fact, as a presenter, I oftentimes draw attention to that. I'll read the heading and say the management trinity includes four behaviors. And before I explain them, let me tell you why that is.
You just head that off with the pass because every time you do it, you get questions about it, right? And so what you've done is have changed your presentation in order to account for the fact that you've got questions and you know, therefore, that people in the audience are confused. You're a genius. You did exactly what we said.
Thanks. Right? Not only that, but I know if I don't address that, the question is floating in their brain and putting them in a position whereby they are incapable of comprehending the words that I say because they are so distracted by an idea bumping around inside their heads that they can't even think about what I'm saying next.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I know a lot of my audience isn't going to ask it. I want to get that question outside of their heads so they can pay attention to what I'm trying to say.
The management trinity for behaviors, we've just said, is confusing enough if you speak English. But if you were trying to translate that, you would be convinced that you were missing something, that there was some other meaning that the dictionary didn't have. And you'd be right, right? Because we are using trinity in inverted commas incorrect way, because a trinity has to be three. So, you know, for us, it's something we use every day. When our team is together, when we're communicating with clients or anybody on the website or our listeners, we use trinity to mean four things all of the time. And what happens is when you do that, you forget that people don't understand that trinity means four things. It's kind of like just now when we were talking about disk. We often refer to high I, high S, high C, high D in podcasts and don't explain what disk is or what these high things are. And then we get emails that say, what's a high I? And some people feel slighted or they feel that we've made them feel stupid because we haven't explained, which is kind of fair enough. But we're so used to using it amongst ourselves that sometimes we forget to explain. And so this is a good lesson for anybody who's communicating, irrespective of the language that of the people that they're communicating to. If there's something that means something specific in your company, in your department, in your team, and you're communicating to people outside of that area. And the thing that means something specific doesn't mean that in the outside world, then you have to explain it. It reminds me of Starbucks. The first time I ever went in a Starbucks with my mom, and I'd been in a few before, I'd kind of got the hang of the fact that there's a tall and a grande and a venti.
Yeah.
Right. And she was like, I just want an ordinary coffee. And so I had to say to the lady, and then I said, how big do you want it? And she said, a small. So then I say,
tall pike, please.
Yeah. A tall drip with milk. And my mother looks at me like, you're talking a foreign language. Like, I asked for a small, ordinary coffee. Why?
Yeah. She's like, what are you ordering me? I don't want to eat that. That's not good.
I never said tall anything. No, Mom. But Starbucks translation of small is tall. And those places where words mean something other than what they mean happen all the time. And we have to just be cognizant of who we're communicating with and whether or not they'll understand those things. In Starbucks, they often used to, I haven't seen it in a while, they often used to have the cups, like empty cups, just like 1, 2, 3 on the counter. And they would have written on them tall, grande, venti, so that when people went in for the first time or the first few times, they could point to them and say, which size do you want? And that would teach people the jargon of Starbucks.
So as not to explain every time what the cup sizes are.
Exactly. Can you imagine being in Starbucks and everybody comes in as a small and you say, you mean a tall? It's so frustrating. So there are examples of this in our own language and the way we get used to things being done in certain ways in certain places. But when you're doing it in a foreign language as well, it just makes everything 500 times more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Ask about previous experience is the next piece. Is there anyone who's been communicating with similar groups of people in the past? This is yet another benefit of having a large network. Find someone who's got experience communicating in the way that you're going to communicate. Is there another manager who has an outsourced team in India that can help you and your team with communicating to a group of people that you yourselves may not communicate to often? Is there another procurement professional that could help you with your Chinese suppliers? Is there another executive who's given presentations to potential customers in Germany? Borrow the experience from those that you know, those in your network, and learn the lessons the easy way. Those lessons that they learned the hard way, you can borrow them and reuse them. Why reinvent the wheel? Someone you know already invented it. Borrow their wheel.
We used to do this when I was a recruiter. I was an outsourced recruiter that worked for a big company. And as outsourced recruiters, we had people that we worked with a lot, but every now and again, we would be given someone that we'd never worked, a hiring manager who we'd never worked with, who was in a department or a part of the company we'd never worked with. And the first thing you would do is get on the phone to the person you knew who'd worked either with that hiring manager or with that department. Say, hey, what are they like? What's important to them? What should I do? You know, what's important to know about going to their site? Like, do I have to be half an hour early because I have to sign in and I have to do the photograph thing or whatever? We just basically borrowed somebody else's knowledge, somebody who already had that knowledge. The other way you can do it is the other way around. So if you have the people who have experience being communicated to. So for example, if you know someone who's an Indian national on an outsourced team who has had an American manager, you could go to that person and say, okay, what did the American manager do wrong? Or what did they try to communicate that didn't go across? Or what did they do that seemed really odd to you guys and you didn't like it? If you're working with Chinese suppliers, if you can't find someone who is in your position working with Chinese suppliers, maybe you can find a Chinese supplier who has worked with other people in a similar position to you so they can tell you what the pitfalls are. If you know Germans and you're on a US sales team and you're going to be communicating with Germans or you're going to be trying to make a sale in German or in Germany, if you can't find someone, a US person who's made a sale in Germany, maybe you can find some Germans who have been sold to or where a US guy has attempted to sell to them and failed.
Yes, exactly. Even an attempt.
Yeah, you can find out what went wrong and what went right and what things that those people learned. I hesitate to use the word culture. There are traditions in some countries where it is correct to bring a gift. If you brought a gift to an American meeting, they probably could be quite confused because it's not part of what's done here. It's not a tradition here. But in some countries, they would be confused if you didn't take a gift. Now, a lot of the time people say you would have insulted them and they won't give you the business, which is not true. They may be confused. They may think it's odd. They may think, oh, it's a shame that that person didn't follow our tradition. But nearly always, if they're dealing with someone from another country, they know that you don't know their traditions. It's not like, you know, you go to Japan and you forget to do the whole business card with two hands thing. If you just hand over your business card with one hand, the Japanese don't think, oh my gosh, we've been insulted. I'm never talking to this person again. They think, oh, funny Americans. They just
don't get it.
They hand over their business cards like their, you know, bus tickets. Funny Americans. And they carry on working with you.
Mm-hmm.
So
I forgive you.
It's, yeah, exactly. It's good. If you can escape a pitfall by communicating with people or by talking to people ahead of time and finding out what that pitfall is. But if you get it wrong, it's usually not the end of the world. So that was a bit of an aside, but it's one of my soapboxes.
It's a great point, though, because think of it the other way. When people from different cultures come here and misstep, we don't hold that against them. And we forgive them because we know they don't get our rules. They don't know how it works here. And it's fine. And we're okay with it.
Right. British people often say, oh, Americans, they're so loud. But if you're in a restaurant, there's a bunch of Americans being loud, which they are. English people don't get up and go, you have to leave our country. You're a terrible person. They go, God, Americans, they're all so loud. And they roll their eyes and nothing happens because we understand there's a difference in the way we were brought up and the customs and the traditions.
All right. And our last piece is learn from your own experience. Now, the faster we're moving, the less likely we are to look back at a project or a meeting or an email or a conversation and think to ourselves what worked and what didn't. Re-examine the situation. Yet, this is a treasure trove of information that'll make future communication so much easier.
Take this really relatively simple example, which I know from experience. Americans write the date. They use the format month, month, day, day, year, year. So they would, where are we, the 4th of August? So the 4th of August would be MM, so it's 08 for the two letters of the month, DD 04 for the numbers of the date. Oh, is it the 3rd? 3rd. 03.
Yeah, but this won't go out on the 3rd anyway, so.
For the date. And then 18 for YY for the year. So you get 08, 03, 18. But when Europeans write it, they write DDMMYY. So the DD, the 03, comes first, then the month, 08, and then 18 comes at the end, the same. So when an American says the due date for a task is 3/5, they mean the 5th of March, right? The first bit is the month and the second bit is the date. A European, if they see 3/5, they think it's the 3rd of May. The 3 is the day and the 5 is the month. And there's a really big difference if that's a due date for delivery between the 3rd of May and the 5th of March. There's a really big problem.
That's the thing. Even if both of the correspondents know that there's a different way in the way the dates are done. So for example, like Wendy and myself, who both do it the European way, working with people here at Manager Tools who do it the American way. So if an American colleague of ours writes 3/5, did they write it in the American way because that's natural for them? Or did they write it in their European way, knowing that they're talking to us and that's the way we would interpret it, and communication is what the listener does, so let me write it in their way. It will be easier for them.
And Maggie often does this. She'll write 3/5 and I'm like, did you write it my way so that I knew what, or did you write it your way? I still don't know. Even though I know both ways, I still don't know which way you wrote it.
Right. If both of them are less than 12, I can't even do math. I'm like, well, how am I going to figure it out? So confusing. I can do math if it's more than 12, but obviously I can't, right? It's confusing.
The solution is simple. And I know this because we did it with all of the spreadsheets, anything that has a due date all over Manager Tools, instead of using two digits or two integers for the month, we use 3. So instead of writing 08, we would write AUG, because then it doesn't matter whether it's AUG 05 or 05 AUG, we all know it's August.
We all know it's August.
And it takes some practice. Because it's not right for anybody. It's a kind of compromise that's not good for anybody. Once you've practiced it and you do it by habit, it's so much easier and you never get confused about dates. And that's one small example.
Yeah, super simple. But if you take the time to review your previous communication, whether it's a short email or a full day-long presentation, and just re-examine it and think to yourself, okay, what worked and what didn't? Where did communications cross and they were misinterpreted? Then you can adjust accordingly in the future based on those previous experiences. You can re-clarify what you're looking to say, knowing that there are potentially some pitfalls. There are some landmines in how I might want to communicate. So let me get out ahead of those.
My favorite thing about communication is it's the one thing we do all day, and therefore it's the thing that you can practice all day.
All the time.
You can practice communication with anyone you meet at any time. It doesn't have to be someone at work. It can be the grocery store. It can be, the paper delivery guy. You can watch videos. You can watch TV. If you watch a British TV show, if you watch the show Sherlock, and then compare that with the American version, which is Elementary, then not quite, but they're both about Sherlock Holmes, you'll notice there's differences. And those are differences in lots of different areas, but one of them is communication. And you can watch both those shows and enjoy both of them and see where there's differences in the way that Americans and British people describe things. And American and British are supposed to be close languages. If you try American and German, obviously there's a lot more differences.
There's a lot more differences.
That's my favorite thing about communication. You can practice all the time. Communicating across the language barrier is really good. Like, don't think of it as a burden. Don't think, oh God, I'm taking on this team and there's three people in Germany. And then, they're German. They're so don't think of it like that. Think of it as a fun experiment. It's fun to find the ways that you do communicate the same and different ways to communicate. It's fun to solve that puzzle. But it also, the more you practice communicating with someone where it's difficult to communicate with them, it makes communicating with people for whom it's easy for you to communicate with easier. I didn't explain that very well. But if you think about athletes, they often train at high altitude because there's less oxygen up there. And so it's harder for them to train. And then when they come to the race, they come down to sea level. It's really easy. And so they run faster. And communicating with people in a different language is kind of like that. It makes communication a lot harder, but it stretches all those muscles and it makes you better at communicating when it's your own language. It's a really good opportunity. And I'm not often the rah-rah person, but I am here. Okay, that's communication. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
Hey, everyone. Kate here. The latest update to the Manager Tools app includes the ability to track coaching and delegation with Roadmap. So if you're a licensed member, you can access Roadmap through the Manager Tools application. And now that app will track all of your Trinity behaviors, including coaching and delegation. Figure out who to coach and on what using Roadmap. It'll even walk you through the steps and help you to set goals and deliverables around coaching. You can also add photos of your notes to each coaching instance to keep track of your handwritten one-on-one notes for that particular coaching scenario. Use Roadmap to decide the who, what, and how of delegating to your team members, all within the recommended timeframes for Trinity rollout. We'll remind you when and how. It's like having the Trinity in your pocket.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week.